We appreciate the beautiful singing today and the humble prayers offered up to the Lord. It's an honor and privilege that we have, as I stated earlier, to be able to come together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth today once again. I would ask you once again to be prayerful for one another. Please pray for me that I'll be able to preach the message that the Lord will be pleased with today. I certainly need the help of the Lord. I want to read today from the 22nd chapter of Revelation. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, I want to read one verse of Scripture. I want to direct your attention to verse 17 of the 22nd chapter of Revelation. I want to read to you this one verse of Scripture for a foundation of the thought that the Lord has given me. And in this final chapter of the book of Revelation of the Bible, we see how that in verse 17 there is this invitation. And contained within this invitation, as I will read it, you'll see that there are components of this verse of Scripture that certainly are important to our doctrinal foundation of what we believe. And I want to read this one verse of Scripture, verse 17 of the 22nd chapter of Revelation. The Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Today, I want to announce the subject upon my heart taken from this verse of Scripture. And that subject upon my heart today will be taken, as I said, from the components that we find in this particular passage of Scripture. And that is the bride, the family of God, and the lost. The bride, the family of God, and the lost. First, I want to deal, as I have pointed out, these components that we find in this Scripture. And I want to deal with those that this invitation is directed toward, and that is the lost. This invitation given, directing toward those that are lost and those that are lost need of salvation. As I said, I felt the need today to bring out these components. And with the Lord's help today, I want to point out to you that there are these components that we find that are distinguishable when it comes to true Baptist doctrine. According to the Scriptures, as I will try to bring out the harmony of the Word of God, we see that these components are reflected in many places in the Scripture. As I said, these components that we find that I want to point out to you when it comes to the people in this world that we can distinguish, and that is the bride, which makes up those who are members of the Lord's church. And then we get to that next component, and that is the family of God, those that have been saved who are not members of the Lord's church. And then we have this category that this invitation is directed toward, and that is those that are lost. So we have in the world today, those categories are components that we can find in the Scripture. We find that there are these distinct companies in the world. And so today I want to deal with these components one by one. And first, I want to deal with those that are lost. The Scripture tells us concerning those that are lost that they that are lost are the ones who are in need of salvation. As the Scripture expresses here, the invitation that's given. And we find, first of all, how, as we read earlier on in the passage, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come." So we see this direction being given here, the invitation being brought or being sent by the Spirit of God, and that is the Holy Spirit of God, God the Spirit, and the bride, which is saying, come, which is the church, the Lord's church is here in the world. And then we find the category among the family of God, the children of God, who are not of the church or members of the church. And so I want to point this out to you. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So we see the Spirit, which is absolutely necessary to take effect in the hearts of people who are lost by the convicting power that the Spirit brings upon those lost, enabling them to seek the Lord in repentance and faith in order to be saved. So it's the Spirit, it states here, that is saying, come, the Spirit and the bride. The bride, as I said, reflects the fact of the church here in the world, the Lord's true churches here in the world. And then it states, and let him that heareth say, come. Now here's the category that most religious people in the world today do not and are able not to see. Or they're not willing to see, maybe. But we see that there's this also distinct category that we find in that it says, and let him that heareth say, come. So we find that the Spirit is saying, come, directing toward those who are lost. We see that the bride is saying, come, sending out the warning message and the way of salvation, the church, preaching the way of salvation through God called preachers and God's people and members of the Lord's church, testifying of that true way of salvation. And then we find this category, as I said once again, it says, and let him that heareth say, come. Now, as I said, I want to go back and to declare to you what the Scripture teaches concerning these categories. And we find harmony in the Word of God as we look into these components of the Scripture. Now, first, as I said, I want to deal with those that are lost, where that we find that this invitation is directed toward. Where that the Spirit, which is necessary and absolutely necessary in order for people to be saved by the way of conviction for upon lost sinners. And we see that the Bible says concerning the Spirit of God, it says in John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So there it expresses the absolute necessity for the Lord by His Spirit to draw lost people to Him in order to be saved. The drawing power of God is absolutely necessary when it comes to the salvation of lost sinners. You and I that have been saved could not have been saved except it had been for the Spirit of God to come and to convict us of our sins, causing us to realize our need of salvation, and that we had to hear the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul said, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel is necessary in order for people to be saved, to hear that way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, of repentance to God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible also tells us, as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we see the absolute necessity of the Spirit and the Word of God to take effect in the heart of people who are lost. And the Scripture tells us concerning the Spirit of God, as the Word of God is preached and declared to those who are lost, and the Spirit is what makes that Word of God effectual, that the gospel is has its effect by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we see the Word that Jesus said in John 12:32, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So we see furthermore the drawing power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke about. Then Jesus said, he said that when he would go away, that he would send the Comforter. He spoke about the Spirit of God that would come, and that he would reprove the world of sin In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, we see there how the Bible says, Jesus said that he would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they believe not on me. So there we see the necessity of the reproving Spirit of God as the invitation is given toward those who are lost, that they would seek the Lord with all their heart, as the Bible demands, and trust in him in order to be saved and to find true peace to the soul and a true born-again experience. And anything short of a true heartfelt knowledge of salvation and a true born-again spirit of God, the true born-again spiritual experience of finding peace with God, anything short of that is certainly not true salvation. We're living in such a time in this religious world that there's a much damnable heresy that's being promoted and declared, which is contrary to the true way of salvation. But we see when it comes to this invitation that the Spirit is something that's absolutely necessary, as it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, the bride here, we see that whenever we study and understand about the bride, that there's details in the Scripture about the bride. And that is concerning the Lord's church here in the world. And we see that when we think about this invitation being directed toward those who are lost, we see also when it comes to the fact that it says, and let him that is athirst come, we see that those are the ones under consideration, those that are athirst, it says. Still, I'm still dealing with those that are among the lost. That category of people in the world that are lost and need of salvation. So he says, and let him that is athirst come. So it's those that are athirst that the Lord says should come to him. You see, people first must be lost before that they can be saved. We have much of religion of the world today that they do not understand this spiritual principle. They deny the work of the Holy Spirit concerning the way of salvation. And they deny the fact that a person must feel their need of salvation to be dealt with by the Spirit. They deny the convicting power of the Spirit in salvation. Therefore, when it comes to the teaching of God's Word concerning the time in one's life when one becomes accountable to God and spiritually dead in God's sight, they deny that fact of the Scripture. What the Bible teaches concerning this. So he says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He says, let him that is athirst. Now, let's look back at some scriptures that we can harmonize the Word of God in the direction that this invitation is being given to. And that is to those who are lost. And we see that concerning those who are lost, Jesus said, it said in Luke 19 and 10, Jesus said, there we find in the Scripture that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we see there in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, you'll see there where Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see that, that those that are lost are those that are in the state of unbelief, who have not yet called on the Lord and believed to the saving of the soul. So he speaks of those that are athirst, those that are being dealt with by the Spirit, those that feel their need of salvation, those that realize they're lost and in danger of dying to hell and going to hell, those that feel the condemnation, the trouble in their heart, just like I felt when I was lost, just like you felt when you were lost before that you were saved. And by the way, I'm thankful today of how that the Lord saved my soul as a 12-year-old boy, in case you haven't heard my testimony. There at Maple Grove No. 2 Missionary Baptist Church, how that I was feeling that convicting power upon me in that revival meeting there in 1986 as a 12-year-old boy. There Brother Hilma Duncan was helping in the meeting that year. Brother Don Curtis was the pastor then. And there was that late Saturday night as I had been coming to the mourners, been seeking the Lord, began seeking them the day service and returning back to the night services thereafter until late that Saturday night as I was praying, just begging for mercy. That's when I found peace peace to my soul, and the burden of sin rolled away. There's where the Lord saved my soul and gave me peace to my soul. And I knew that I was born again by the Spirit. There at Maple Grove number 2 Missionary Baptist Church. But I'm thankful for what the Lord did for me. And there, after the following day, I followed the Lord in baptism. I joined the church, rather. I presented myself for membership. And then sometime later, then we went down to Long Creek, myself and several others, big line of boys and girls, possibly men, I can't remember for sure, but it was many during after that revival meeting that went down to the creek. And by the authority of Maple Grove number 2 Missionary Baptist Church, we were baptized into the fellowship with that church. And I'm thankful for what the Lord did for me. And then later on, the Lord, as a 17-year-old boy, we find a young man, you might say, just at the age of 17, just turned 17, junior in high school, on a late Sunday night, there at my desk in my living room, after returning home from church that night at Maple Grove, there, as I was trying to do my homework assignment for the following day, there the Lord called me to preach. And that was a very frightening thing. But then 4 years later, as I struggled with that call, I on my call to preach there and told the church at Maple Grove how that I had been called to preach that night, on that Sunday night in January, at the age of 17. But nevertheless, you see, these things are important, and you have your time and place where the Lord saved your soul. And certainly, those are special places to us. But nevertheless, we see that this is what is necessary in order to be saved, that people must be convicted of their sins, and they must be dealt with by the Spirit, making them realize they're lost, in order to seek the Lord and be saved. And so we see how the Bible teaches this in various places in God's Word. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Yes, he said, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." You see, he's talking about laden with iniquity, feeling the trouble, feeling the condemnation of being lost and guilty, lost without God, separated from God, and in danger of dying and going to hell. So he says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." What did he say? "And I will give you rest." If you come to Jesus, you see, he's saying, he said he will give rest. That means rest to the soul. The word rest, according to the translation of that word, it means to be acquitted. It means to be exempt. It means to be at ease. Yes, that's what it means. When the burden of sin is lifted, that's the translated meaning of the word there. If you'll study it out, there we see it means to be at ease or to be exempt. Exempt from what? Exempt from the judgment of Almighty God and the wrath of God. You see, that condemnation is taken away, and we have a complete and total assurance of being born again by the Spirit that we are God's children and we are going to go to heaven when we die. I'm telling you, there's no greater comfort and consolation in this world than being born again by the Spirit of God. And so then we see that the next greatest blessing is to be able to say that one is a member of the Lord's church, to follow the Lord in baptism, to join the Lord's church here in the world. Oh, what a privilege and honor that it is to be able to say that we're members of the Lord's church that He established here in the world. You see, at Jerusalem, aren't you thankful for that today? To enjoy the privilege and the honor and the joy of being a child of God and working for the Lord through His church and by the authority of His church. And so we see furthermore in the scriptures, these scriptures that we can go to and the way that is declared here according to the Word of God. Now also we see we can go to other places, but nevertheless, those are a few that I wanted to give you concerning those that are thirst. Remember Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1. "Ho," he says, "ho, everyone that is athirst, come ye to the waters. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters," the Bible says. And so we see there in the scripture the word thirst being used. And then we find how that Jesus in John chapter 7, let's look over here, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, if you'll bear with me over here, let's notice what was stated here in the scripture. And we find how that it was stated here in John chapter 7. We see, looking over here, in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Spirit of God. He's talking about a spiritual experience with God. Something you know and feel in your heart. And so he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Any man that thirst. So how important that it is that we stress that. That those that feel that they're lost in their souls, those are the ones that we emphasize and distress and warn to seek the Lord. Not just anybody, but those that feel the Spirit of God making them aware that they're lost. You see, these little children, before they reach the age of accountability, before they become lost, you see, they don't stand in need of salvation until they become dead in their sins and trespasses against God, until they become lost. And so that's why that we must be careful to stress that to those that the Lord has made known to their hearts that they're lost and separated from God, and feel the trouble and feel the knock at their heart's door to seek the Lord. So we see that this is accomplished and brought about by the Spirit of God. Now let me move on here now. I want to get to the meat of the matter here, of some points I want to try to get to about these components in this scripture that we can point out. And verse 17, going back to this 22nd chapter, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, next I want to deal with those that we can understand from this category concerning the children of God or the family of God. The distinguishable difference that we find in God's Word concerning the children of God overall, or all the family of God, as a distinct difference between the children of God that are in the bride or in the Lord's church here in the world. You see, that are considered among the bride or in the church. Here in the world, they have followed the Lord in baptism and joined the Lord's church here in the world, like this one here in faith. And so certainly that's what we believe, that whenever we consider this distinguishable difference, that there is that distinct difference between the family of God in general and the bride. Now, I want to try to make those points here as I go along here. Now, let's look back to verse 17 as we break this down. It says, and let him that heareth say, come. So we've already noticed in the scripture pointing out that the Spirit and the bride is saying, come. You see, that bride is that company of people that's made mention of, distinguished differently from the next part. It says, and let him that it heareth say, come. So we have the category of people that's saying, those that let him that heareth say, come. So those that hear. Now, we can look back in God's Word in the 55th chapter of Isaiah and see, according to the scripture, where it's brought out, where that those that hear spiritually. That when you study out the scriptures, you'll see that there are places in God's Word that distinguish this, that those that have heard spiritually, those have heard to the spiritual standpoint of that they have responded and sought the Lord and trusted in the Lord and been saved, those who have heard. And so we find in Isaiah, going back to Isaiah chapter 55 once more, verse 3, there it says, incline your ear unto me, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. Incline. Now let's go back. Let's read it. Let me read it in its clarity. Isaiah chapter 55. If you'll bear with me here. Let's go back and notice these scriptures. As we break these components down. Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 3, it says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So there he says, among those that hear, it says, incline your ear. That's one thing, to listen to the Word of God, to hear with your ear, to hear what's being preached, what's being taught concerning the way of salvation. Incline your ear, listen. And then it says, and come unto me, to come to the Lord in repentance and faith. He says, hear, and your soul shall live. So this hearing, in this spiritual sense, is in a way that is that response of repentance and faith and finding the Lord and living spiritually. Those that hear, says, your soul shall live. Now, Let's go back, and this is that category that I spoke about, or among the children of God. It says, let him that heareth say, come. If you'll read about the words of Jesus, you'll see how he pointed out that he spoke concerning those that were blessed to have ears to hear. Hey, those that had been blessed and being saved, those that have know from a spiritual standpoint the way of salvation. Those that hear, and let him that heareth say, come. So you see, you have that category saying come as well. When people are saved, they know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. When the very moment when people are delivered from their sins, born again by the Spirit, they have something they know about. They have something that they can go and tell others about. Even before they follow the Lord in baptism and become a member of the Lord's church. How many times maybe have you seen it? I have seen it. No doubt you have too. Maybe in a meeting where the Spirit of God comes in a great mighty way, where that people are seeking the Lord, where the convicting power of God is falling, and one gets saved here, and one maybe gets saved over there, and immediately after they get saved, they have an immediate concern for a friend or loved one, and they go to that individual before that they have any time to follow the Lord in baptism, and they are concerned about them, and they're encouraging them to seek the Lord for salvation. You see, they then have know something that they can tell about. They have salvation that they can go and tell others about what the Lord has done for their soul. Even before they have followed the Lord in baptism. So we see this category as it says, and let him that heareth say, come. Now, let's get to this last part here. The bride. I want to speak concerning the bride. I want to say that to the last part. Just to break this down, that we may understand from the clearest standpoint that we can find from God's Word, where we find this distinguishable difference in the Scripture. Now, this is truly an important doctrinal principle that we believe that distinguishes us from many other religious affiliations in the world, and even many who wear the name Baptist. Yes, that's true. We all know that. That there are many who may wear the name Baptist, but they're not true Baptists. They don't truly preach a true Baptist doctrine, as this church here and our sister churches that we know and that we fellowship. But nevertheless, I just wanted to make that doctrinal viewpoint here, that doctrinal standpoint, that as we all know and understand, of that this is a distinguishable doctrine that we believe and teach and preach, as has been delivered down to us through the years. And this is what is one of the distinguished doctrines of a true Baptist church here in the world, that people that are among the true church understand, and that we preach and teach. Now, as opposed to others who do not. Now, concerning the bride, and as I have pointed out, that there is this difference in many people in the world today, that they will claim that the bride includes all of God's children. They will claim that the bride includes all of God's children. And they don't understand the principle and doctrine of the church as we do. And there's this universal church idea, or false theory. False doctrine is exactly what it is. But I want to point out to you what the truth of God's Word is concerning the bride being distinguished from the family of God in general. Now, let's go back here. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, let's speak concerning the bride now. As we look in the Scripture, if you'll notice with me what the Apostle Paul says about it. Let's go over here and notice what he said in the Scripture. As we look into the Word of God, and before I read here, and I want to just give a test to the Scripture as to what I'm referring to whenever I'm making reference to false churches and false affiliations of the world today. Because we find it in prophecy. We find, and what I'm speaking to you is, it comes from directly from prophecy. We can go back to the 4th chapter of Isaiah. I want to point out to you a prophecy here concerning the times that we live, in that there are those represented here that are spoken of. In the 4th chapter of Isaiah, prophecy, verse 1, it says, and in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And that's exactly what we're faced in our religious society today. Those that lay claim to the name of Christ and claim to be doing the work of Christ, but yet they do not belong to Christ. They are not among the category of those who are among his church here in the world. And so we see that this is certainly a prophecy that we can understand here that represents false churches. Let me read this once more. How that they will say that they will take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread." In other words, they want to have it their own way. They want to develop and to carry out doctrines according to their own standpoint and their own viewpoints rather than God's. It says, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name, to take away our reproach." Now, I want to point that out before we go any further. Now, let's notice what Paul said concerning the bride, as we find in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, I want to move along here. We find this 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians as we look to verse 2. Now, it says in verse 2, it says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy." I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Who's he writing to? This church of Corinth. One of the Lord's local, visible, baptized, believing church. A church of a local body of baptized believers here. This local church here at the Church of Corinth. He says, "I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." What does it say? Espoused. So we're in this espousal period right now. And so that there's going to be this marriage ceremony in heaven. One day after a while, we read about it. And I'm going to get to that. But he speaks of the bride as the espoused. He says, "I have espoused you to one husband." Now, it speaks concerning the bride as well in the scripture. We see that concerning the bride, concerning the church here in the world. And I want to say to you, of course, whenever we think about the bride, I say to you, and I'm clarifying that it's made up of those that have been saved and followed the Lord in baptism and joined the Lord's true church here in the world. And I want to say that that is according to God's judgment when it comes to the makeup of the bride. That's according to his judgment. Who will be those in the bride when that marriage ceremony takes place. And that was made mention of this morning. I appreciated that. And I certainly appreciate the teaching and preaching of our forefathers. God called preachers who have already gone on, like Brother Russell, that was made mention of this morning. We have truly benefited from his preaching and teaching as these teachings have passed down to our generation, and how that I have benefited and other preachers of our era time have benefited from their preaching and teaching of the truth. Now we see furthermore, and how do we see, looking back to the third chapter of John, notice with me here, if I want to move along here, and we see how that it says in the 29th verse of this third chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." It says, "But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled." So he spoke of having the bride. It says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." And so no doubt this is having reference to the bride and Jesus, the bridegroom. So let's look furthermore. Jesus and his church. You can go over to the 5th chapter of Ephesians and see the relationship as it's described there, as the comparison between a husband and a wife and between Christ and his church. Now, let's look over in the scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. Notice with me here. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, notice verse 15. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." So there again, it points out the bride. It's the bridegroom and the bride here. Now, let's go over to the book of Revelation. Notice these distinguishable points here of the scripture concerning the bride as it is different from the family of God in general. You remember what it said in Galatians 3:26. Paul said, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." We all have become the children of God, those that have been saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, been born again by the Spirit. And so we see that that's the point when people become the children of God in general, at the point of faith, and true faith from the whole heart, and repentance toward God and faith in him. So I made that point to expound the fact that it had nothing to do with baptism when it comes to being a child of God. As far as being a member of the Lord's church, we were saved before we qualified to be a member of the Lord's church and to be among the bride. Now, let's go a little further here. I want to conclude with these final thoughts here. Trying to wrap this up here today. I appreciate your patience. But notice with me what the Scriptures tell us in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Let's go over to this 21st chapter of Revelation. Now notice how it speaks of the bride here. How that we see that in verse 2 of this 21st chapter of Revelation, it says, "And I, John," this is what John saw here now, what the Lord showed him. And we see, he says, "I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Prepared. And so, certainly, we're in preparation ground right now. We, as members of the Lord's Church, we ought to be preparing for that time. And that is to put forth our greatest effort to live according to the statutes and the principles of the Word of God, to be a faithful church member, to prepare for that time, for that ceremony, after the Lord Jesus Christ returns, after we find in the Scripture, and I won't get into detail about that, when He comes, and whenever He comes again, to destroy this world by fire, and after the resurrection of the dead, and we find after that, we read about that general judgment in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John, and when we get to the place where we're reading the Scripture here, about this marriage ceremony in heaven among the family of God, as it is distinguished between the bride. Now, here it speaks of the bride. It says, "I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." Now, what's he talking about here? He goes on to describe what he's having reference to here. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So see no doubt what he's having reference to here. Now, keeping that in mind, let's flip over. Let's go over to the following chapter. Let's stay in chapter 21. Later on in chapter 21, rather. We see in verse 23 and 24. Now, notice here. In 23 and 24, it says, "And the city had no need of the sun." Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about the bride. Once again, you compare Scripture with Scripture. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations." Now, here's this distinguishable difference here that we can point out. It says, "And the nations which are saved shall walk in the light of it." Shall walk in the light of it. So we see the difference between the nations of them which are saved that are walking in the light of it. It had reference to the city or the bride. And so we see that in the nations of them which are saved, you see, those are the guests at that wedding ceremony right there. "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut out all by day, but for there shall be no night there." So we see this difference being spoken of here. Now, let's look furthermore. I want to make one other point here. If you'll bear with me here, we find in the Scripture. If I can find the place I want to get to here, we find in the Scripture. If we go back to the chapter 19, let's look back to the chapter 19. Now notice here, this is my final viewpoint here, that we find this distinguishable difference between the bride and the family of God. Now it says back in the 19th chapter, it says in verses 7 and 8, we see it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted," this is verse 8, "to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Listen to verse 9 here. "And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Now, notice the point I want to make here is concerning this difference between the family of God and the bride. It says, "Right, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb." Those that are called are among the guests. Who has ever known the bride in a wedding to ever be called or invited to the wedding? Who are they talking about? Blessed are they among God's children who are not among the bride, who are not members of the Lord's church. The saved who are not among the bride. He says these are called or invited. And so the bride is not under consideration here about being invited. The bride doesn't get the invitation. Who gets the invitation? The guests do. And who are among the guests? They are among God's children who are not of the bride or of the church. So these are some points that I felt the need to bring out to you today concerning the bride, the family of God, and the lost. That's been the message on my heart. If you're hearing your lost today, I trust that you'll recognize that you are in a very severe condition today. If you're hearing your lost, this altar is open to you to come, that you might come and seek the Lord today for your soul salvation, to seek Him with all your heart and trust in Him until you find peace to your soul and something you know and feel for yourself and a true born again experience. That's been the message on my heart. While we stand and sing, let's come and shake hands with one another today. I want to encourage everyone that's been saved to follow the Lord today, as the Lord may lead your heart, as we stand together.
Thank you for this day and all this blessing. I thank God for the opportunity I have.